So Mishlei has taken a little bit of a break. Again, Amir Sashem, after next week, in 2 weeks we will get back to Mishlei. But today I still want to talk about Chanukah, because we're still in Chanukah. And as Shlomo HaMelech says in Mishlei, so Baruch Hashem, we always have a pasuk in Mishlei to connect it, Davor Bi'ito Matov. When something is addressed in its proper time, that is a very, very good thing. So during these special zmanim, we should talk about the uniqueness of those moments in time. And here, I want to start with the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos. The Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, which is the only place in the Talmud that talks about Chanukah in connection with Shabbos. So the Gemara tells us there are three different ways of doing the mitzvah. There is basic, there is better, and there is best. Basic, surprisingly enough, simply means that you light one candle every single night, no matter how many members of the family. That means if I have a family of 10 people, let's say including me, night one, we light one there, and even night eight, we only light one there. You can be yotzei. I've never heard of a person who says, I just want to do the minimum, but ein hachinami. The minimum is one candle. If you want to reach a higher level called Mahadrin, right, we're used to this language from the Hashgachos in Eretz Israel, you want Mahadrin, so then there's still something that's not familiar to us. You light one candle for every member of your household. So that would mean, if you have a small household of four people, every night you light four candles. If you have a big household, larger than eight, you have 10 people, every night you light 10 candles, but it does not yet correspond to the number of days. It corresponds to the number of B'nai Bayis.
Is this on the Chanukiah? You can't do it on Chanukiah.
Well, remember, the Chanukiah is a relatively recent invention. They used to light candles, separate cups filled with oil. Right? So you do it that way. Now, the third level, right, the highest, badas hashkacha, the third level, although I actually heard a nice little humorous remark, people asked the question, we mentioned it last week, the Beis Yosef's question, why is Chanukah 8 days, there's enough oil for one day, so the miracle is only 7 days. So one of the answers is, although the oil only had one hashkacha on it, everybody relied on it. So that was the miracle of the first day, that they didn't question the hashkacha on the oil. But okay. But putting that aside, there's Mahadrin, Min HaMahadrin. And that is the famous argument between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, in which, according to both opinions, you're looking at the number of days. But according to Beit Shammai, you're looking at the number of days to be coming, so you go down. Day 1, 8, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. Beit Hillel says you go up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now, there is a machlokes among Ashkenazim and Sephardim. If you're doing the highest level, do you also include the middle level? Meaning, according to Rav Yosef Karo, based on Tosafot's opinion, if you're lighting a menorah to correspond with the number of days, you don't do one for each member of your family. That's why Sephardim, Bederech Klal, only light one menorah. And the reason is because if you have all of the candles in the window, people might not know what day it is. They'll see 50 candles, they're not going to know. So according to Rav Yosef Karo, which is the minhag of most Sephardim, although not all Sephardim, only one menorah is lit. According to the Ramah says every member of the household should have their own menorah, because highest also includes middle. Like the highest of Yamim includes middle. Okay, be this as it may, Chanukah is unique. We know that there is a general principle called Heder Mitzvah, that you should always do mitzvos in as most beautiful a way as possible. But we know that the idea of Hidur for Chanukah is not just the general rule of Hidur Mitzvah. And we can prove it mathematically. Because how much extra money must you spend for Hidur? Let's assume I can get a kosher esrog for X amount of shekel. But I can get a beautiful esrog for more money. How much more money am I mechuyav to spend for Hidur Mitzvah? So the Gemara in Bava Kama says very specifically, you don't have to spend more than one third of the price for heater. So to give you an example, let's imagine I could buy, I'll use American money for a moment, I could buy a kosher esrog for $40. Now obviously I have a very good memory that goes back many, many years. If I could buy a kosher esrog for $40, I don't have to spend more than $60 for a heater, because 60 would be 20 extra dollars, which is one third of the whole price. Meaning I'm not mechuyev to spend $100 for a esrog mehudar if I could get a kosher one for 40. Right? That's the Gemara in Bava Kamma. Heder mitzvah only requires a third of the price. Now by Hanukkah, good, granted, candles and oil is not so expensive, but just in terms of the arithmetic, if you could be Yosei for all of Hanukkah with only 8 candles, one every night, and you're doing it, going up, so you're doing a total, not counting the Shabbat, you're doing a total of 36 candles, you are doing Heder mitzvah by a factor of 400%, not one third. You're doing 4 times the amount. So the point I'm making is, the idea of Mahadrin and Mahadrin min HaMahadrin for Ner Chanukah is not the simple general rule of Heder Mitzvah, but there must be a special consideration why Chanukah is linked to the notion of Heder. Not only one level of Heder, but then you have a second level, right? Mahadrin, Mahadrin, min HaMahadrin. Where does that come from? So I'm going to give you 3 answers to this. One answer is that remember that Hanukkah is the battle against Yavan, against Greek Hellenism. Now Yavan itself was given a, or at least Yavan's ancestor is Yefes. Yefes was given a bracha by Noach, because he and Shem covered up Noach's nakedness. When Noach was drunk and he was exposed, and Chum was mocking and maybe even did something worse, Shem and Yefes covered him, and Shem, of course, became the ancestor of Avraham Avinu. A Semite comes from Shem. But Yefes was given a bracha as well. And the bracha that Yefes was given is, Yavtel Kim Li Yefes, V'yishkan B'Olei Shem. That means God has given beauty to Yefes, and he shall dwell in the tent of Shem. Now, in English that sounds bad. In Hebrew that's good. He shall dwell in Shem as a person. He shall dwell in the tent of Shem. So Rav Shimshon of Al Hirsch explains, and this is consistent with his philosophy of Torah im Derech Eretz, that Yefes, who is the ancestor of Yavan, was given a great divine gift. It is the gift of being able to see and create beauty in the world. The beauty is in literature, in art, in the logical elegance of philosophy and mathematics, geometry. Right? There are people who see geometry as beautiful. Again, you know, maybe they may seem strange to us, but they see the symmetry and the logic as being very, very beautiful. So in truth, Yefes, through Yavan, was given a great, great bracha of being able to identify and see beauty in the world. And that is a good thing as long as it dwells in the tent of Shem. Now Shem represents a different mission. Shem, and eventually Avraham Avinu and the Jewish people, represent the mission of bringing godliness and kedusha into the world. So the bracha of Yefes is wonderful when it is subordinated to serving Hashem. But when it is separated from the tense of Shem, which is monotheism, Avodas Hashem, and it becomes an egotistic affirmation of how great the human being is, when he is not subordinating himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it then becomes evil and destructive. Right? That's how Rav Hirsch understands Yafte Lekim Liyefes, the Yishkon B'Alei Shem. So consequently, is it not correct that when we celebrate the triumph of Yisrael over Yavan, we don't do so by disparaging the good that Yavan has. We don't do so by saying, oh, beauty is worthless, like Eishes Chayil, Sheker Achein Behevel Ayofi. Rather, we acknowledge that aesthetic beauty has a place in the world when it is used to enhance Avodas Hashem. So precisely when we wage war against the Yofi of Yefes, we incorporate the Yofi into our Avodas Hashem to show that our war is not about destroying beauty, but rather taking the beauty and utilizing it in Avodas Hashem. That's why there's no accident that we bedafka do the mitzvah of Chanukah in the most beautiful way, because what we're doing is we're taking the koach of Yavan and using it in a good way. Vayishkod bi'ol Hashem. And that's the ultimate victory. The ultimate victory is not destroying beauty. The ultimate victory is taking beauty and using it in a good way. That's answer number one. Answer number two, teretz number two, again, the question we're answering is, why by Chanukah is there such a concept of Mahadrin and Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin? So teretz number two is from the Chidushei Harim, the first Gera Rebbe, Rabbi Yitzchak Meir Alter. And the Chidushei Harim says the following. The truth of the matter is, what happened here? They found enough oil that could burn for one day, a pure oil. They had plenty of impure oil that became tameh. But they had one jar of pure oil that could burn for one day, one night actually, and a miracle happened. Now, what would have been if either they wouldn't have found the impure oil, or the impure oil would have burned for one day? What would they have done the next day? The halacha is actually very clear. You are allowed to light the menorah with impure oil. Even though generally things that are tameh cannot even be brought into the Beis HaMikdash. That is a general rule, to be sure. But there's one gigantic exception. That when something is a communal offering that is being brought on behalf of the Jewish people, and you don't have an alternative, this is the principle that says Tuma, the laws or the prohibitions of impurity, Hutra, are permitted B'tzibor, for the benefit of the Kahal. So, if I had to bring my private sin offering, and the meat got tamei, or the blood got tamei, Einachinami, it is true, I would not be allowed to bring my korban. That is true. There is a law of tuma in the Beis HaMikdash. But if the korban tamei got tamei, the halacha is we still go ahead and bring it, because when it's a communal offering, the laws of tuma are superseded. If that's the case, the question you could ask is, forget about the Beis Yosef's kasha, you know, it's only a miracle for 7 days. Why did Hashem do a miracle at all? The miracle was unnecessary. There was no need for it. We had impure oil. And if you don't have pure oil, you bring with impure oil. This is the principle. A menorah is a tzibur. It's for all of Klal Yisrael. Tuma, Hutra B'tzibur. The answer is this, says the Chidushei Harim. It must be that although it was not absolutely necessary, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a miracle so we would do the mitzvah in the most beautiful way possible. And doing it with pure purity is a more beautiful mitzvah than impurity. So says the Chidushei Harim, Hashem did the whole miracle so we would do a mitzvah in a beautiful way. Not that we needed it for the mitzvah, but Hashem gave us a miracle so we would do the mitzvah in a beautiful way. Well, so how do we give thanks for that? By doing the mitzvah in a beautiful way. Right? Now the Chidushei Harim says, the whole neis was Hider mitzvah. Now, to take it a little deeper, what is the implication of Hashem doing a miracle to enable us to serve Him with Hider mitzvah? In truth, that's an extra expression of love. You know, if Hashem gives you what you absolutely need, that's most important, but that doesn't yet show love. I mean, after all, if you're walking by and you see somebody starving, you know, you'll give them a piece of bread even if you don't like him very much. Putting aside the halachas, just, you know, I mean, I'm not going to let a person starve. But if you go out and you bake a cake and you make a steak. Now, he doesn't need the cake and he doesn't need the steak. But the fact that you're giving him more than he needs, that shows love. That shows connection. If I just give you what you need to survive. So, in a sense, the bread is more important than the cake. But the cake is a greater sign of love than the bread. Because the bread I'll give even to the person I don't care about. To bake the cake, I'll give, you know, to my grandson or whatever it would be. So Memela says the Chiddush Yerim like this. Certainly, the nace of the war is more important than the nace of the Pach HaShem. The nace of the Pach HaShem was an unnecessary miracle. But in a sense, when Hashem gives us survival and life, that is more important, obviously. But that doesn't yet show the highest degree of love. When he gives us the frosting on the cake, that shows a higher level of love. Again, this is an odd correlation. It's almost as if the less necessary a gift is, the more affection it shows. Again, it sounds a little odd. Meaning, the real important things, like life, is of course the tremendous chesed of Hashem. But that doesn't necessarily show the tremendous love, because that, in a way, I mean, kavyachal, Hashem doesn't have to do anything, but on some level, Hashem has to keep us alive, because that's the promise he made to the Avos. He's kind of stuck with us. But when he gives us these extra things, that's totally the love of Hashem. So that's the Chiddush Yerim's answer, again. Why do we do the mitzvah and Chanukah in a beautiful way? Because the whole mitzvah of Chanukah was to enable us to do a mitzvah in a beautiful way, namely pure oil instead of impure oil. Now, there's a second, or this is my third answer, there's a third answer given by a sefer a little less known, the Keheles Yitzchak. This was a very famous, actually, he was famous in the time, he's a little less known today. This is the Maggid of Kelim. Not the altar of Kelim, the Maggid of Kelim. He was the preacher in Kelim. He happened also to have been a Talmud of Rabbi Saul Salanter, but it's very, very different than the altar of Kelim. Kelim was just a city on the German-Lithuanian border. Kelim was near Telz, the city of Telz. So he says the following. How does the Gemara describe the oil? The oil was in a jar that was sealed with the seal of the Kohen Gadol. And that is how we know it was not tampered with, it was not handled by the Goyim. Now the question is, why would a jar of oil be sealed with the Kohen Gadol's seal? Ever think of that? He was not the custodian of the oil, there were other people who had that job. So the Maggid of Kelim wants to posit, and actually some Rishayim say this as well, this was not menorah oil at all. Rather, in the Beis HaMikdash, every single day, in the morning and towards the late afternoon, the Kohen Gadol would bring a meal offering of flour mixed with oil. This was his private, personal meal offering. And this is called in the Torah, Chavitei Kohen Gadol. It's interesting, the modern Hebrew word for omelet is chavita, and it actually comes from this, because the chavitim was a combination of being baked and fried and different types of ways of preparing it. So when Eliezer ben Yehuda wanted to invent some modern word, so he went to Rav Kook, and Rav Kook said, yeah, you know, chavita, right? So Rav Kook actually, the truth of the matter is, has a lot of contribution to modern Hebrew, because he was the only rabbi Eliezer ben Yehuda to talk to, or maybe the other way around, the only rabbi who talked to Eliezer ben Yehuda. So Rav Kook would often give him terms from the Medrash or the Gemara that might be applied in the modernization of Hebrew. But be this as it may, therefore, the idea that this would be sealed with the chotam of the Kohen Gadol was because it was not menorah oil. It was the oil the Kohen Gadol would use in bringing his mincha offering, which was called Chavitei Kohen Gadol. These were 12 small chalos. 6 were brought in the morning, burnt on the altar in the morning, and 6 were burnt in the afternoon. When I say challah, by the way, don't think of challah. The chalos in the Beis HaMikdash are usually matzah. They are not leavened. These are unleavened chalos. Think of Svardik matzah, soft, bendable matzah. It looked something like a pita or a lafa, but it was not chametz. Now,
they were burnt
on the mizbech. They were not eaten. They were
meat as well.
Huh?
And meat as well?
No, not meat is different. The meat was eaten. Well, there was no meat. The Kohen Gadol only brought.
It's only
lechem. Only lechem. Chalav.
Lechem and oil.
Yeah. Flour and oil. There was no meat. There was no basar in that korban. So the chavitim were six chalos were burnt on the mizbeach in the morning, and six chalos bein ha'arbayim. Now, this immediately raises a question. So it turns out. They used for the menorah that one day the oil that the Kohen Gadol set aside for his chavitin.
Did he do his chavitas?
Well, basically, I don't know what they did that day. I mean, the problem was that for 3 years the Yavanim had the Beis HaMikdash. Nobody brought chavitin. But here is the problem. The problem is the quality of oil that you need for menorah is a higher quality than the quality that is kosher for a meal offering, for a mincha. For menorah, you can only use the first few drops that are squeezed out of the olive without any sediment, without any peel, without any pieces. For a mincha, which is just mixed, right, that's the oil mixed with the flour, you can use even grade B oil that has sediment. So the kasha is, how could they use the jar of oil that was set aside for Chavite Kohen Gadol? It was grade B oil. It was not grade A oil. Answer, it must be that whoever that anonymous Kohen Gadol was, although he could have used grade B oil, he set aside grade A oil for Heder Mitzvah. So it turns out, had there not been a Heder Mitzvah, there wouldn't have been any oil for the menorah. Therefore, we celebrate. Now, this is exactly the opposite of the Chidush HaYarim. The Chidush HaYarim says, Hashem did the miracle so we could do the mitzvah behidur. This is the other way around. Because the mitzvah was done behidur, we had the miracle. Does hidur cause the miracle, meaning the hidur of the Kohen causes the miracle? Or does the miracle enable us to do the mitzvah behidur? It's a question of chicken and egg. Now, it turns out, yeah.
The Kohen Gadol used all the time Hidur?
No, just for that particular, just for that particular case. We don't know what he did all the time. But that, if that jar was kosher l'menorah,
it must have been
grade A oil.
So just that?
Maybe just that time, we don't know. But whoever was that Kohen Gadol, maybe it was Matisyahu as a matter of fact, that Kohen Gadol did his mitzvah behidur. Otherwise, there would not have been any pure oil for the menorah at all. Well, this is a machlokas. It's a machlokas in the Al Hanisim itself. Bimei Matisyahu ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol. So there's a machlokas meforshim. Is Kohen Gadol modifying Yochanan, or is Kohen Gadol modifying Matisyahu? There are some opinions that say Matisyahu himself was a Kohen Gadol. Others say his father was Yochanan Kohen Gadol, who actually is a famous... Well, that's another question. There is a famous Yochanan Kohen Gadol mentioned in the Gemara, who actually was a Kohen Gadol for 80 years. But, unfortunately, it says, at the end of his life, he became a Tzaduki, which means he denied the Torah Shebaal Peh. And the question is, first of all, is that Yochanan Matisyahu's father? Now, that would be very fascinating, because in some ways, I mean, I don't want to psychoanalyze too much, but in some ways, it turns out that Tzaddikim were basically Hellenists. Now, maybe, this is totally speculation, but maybe the reason why Matisyahu was willing to rise up against the Hellenism, because this was a tragic thing that happened to his own father, that his father was the Yochanan Kohen Gadol who became a Tzaddiki. So he was determined that it wouldn't be, in other words, even though he was a righteous person, so Matisyahu would not allow this to happen again and again. But as I say, there are many machloksim. Some say Matisyahu himself was a Kohen Gadol. And finally, some people say Kohen Gadol doesn't even mean Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol on Anism just means a great Kohen, a Chashuv Kohen. Right? So there are many, many different interpretations. Okay, yeah, you want to say? Did you?
I wonder if we can compare it to the things that were created before creation, albeit free choice, like we see this man became a Tzaduki.
Yes.
You know, is there any correlation?
Well, this is exactly what you see from these tragic events.
So you were saying about the oil that was grade A.
Yes, yes.
That, you know.
You're comparing it to...
I'm wondering if there's a corollary to the things that we created before creation, as if we know that we have free choice and maybe whatever things...
Again, that should be explored further, but there's no question that both Hedor and the opposite of becoming a Tzaduki, are reflections of the fact that human beings can always move in either direction. You can do more than you have to do, and you can fail to live up to your obligations. And interestingly enough, in this Hanukkah story, you see both the backsliding of becoming a Tzaduki and the notion of Hedor. Now, I want to suggest that these last two answers, one is the Kedusha Yarim, that the whole miracle of Hanukkah came to enable us to do Hedor. And the second answer, and that is, it was the Hedor of the Kohen Gadol that enabled us to light the menorah, really have two interesting implications of what do you think about when you look at the Hanukkah candles. The Hanukkah candles are, of course, light. But light itself, or, has many, many ramazim. One aspect of light is the light of the Shekhinah, the light of God's presence, that permeates and illuminates the darkness in times of confusion, in times of suffering, in times of persecution. It is the light of the Torah. The Pasuk again, Pasuk in Mishlei. Ner mitzvah, every mitzvah is like a candle. The Torah or, and the Torah as a whole is a source of light. So when I look at the menorah, I think of the holiness that Hashem brings into the world. That's the Chiddush Yarim's idea. That the miracle of Hanukkah is the Hedor that Hashem, the gift that Hashem gave us, that He didn't have to give us, the miracle of pure oil that burns. And therefore, according to the Chiddush Yarim, looking at the Neros is being mistakel at the light of Hashem's kindness in the world. Because the Chiddush Yarim says that the Mahadrin of Hanukkah is to give thanks for what Hashem gave us, giving us a miracle that we didn't need because of Tumah Hudrib Tzibur. It's brought down, you know, many people have a minhag, and it's proper, it's brought down in many, many svarim, that for the half an hour that the candles have to burn, one should try to sit by the candles, men and women, to be misbonei, to contemplate the candles. Many have a minute of looking at the candles, although you're not allowed to read by the neiros or eat, but to look at the candles. And it is said this way, that on Hanukkah, not counting the Shamash, we light a total of 36 candles. And it is said that for the first 3 days of creation, before there was a sun, which is only on the fourth day, so there were 36 hours of light, not from the sun. And that was the light of the Shekhinah that gave that light. And when the sun was created as a source of light, that light of the Shekhinah was hidden, or Haganah, 36 hours of light, was hidden. And it is said that the 36 Neros of Hanukkah correspond to the 36 hours of the hidden light of the Shekhinah, that on Hanukkah that becomes revealed. That is why, by the way, although you can count this 100 times, you're not going to get the right number, it's brought down in the Marshal that Haneros Halalu, that we say after candlelight, is supposed to have exactly 36 words. Lo Pachot, Lo Yoter, because it is supposed to correspond with the 36 Neros of Hanukkah, the 36 hours of Or HaGadol. Now, you can sit and count from here till tomorrow. Neros HaLolo has 49 words, but the emphasis is The Marshal himself says you don't count the words Haneiros Halalu, which appear twice. So that takes off four. You still have 45 words. But the answer, the Marshal had a different girsa, and he took out a number of the words. And in different Sfarim, they give you the Marshal's girsa, even though we're not noeg to be so machner on it. But the Marshal held there was a special inyan of the 36 words. But whether you follow the Marshal's nusach or you don't follow the Marshal's nusach, the idea that the Chiddush Yarim's notion that the Hidur is being grateful to Hashem for what he gives us, that means I look at the Neiros and I think of the Shekhinah and the light that Hashem brings into the world. But if you look at the second perspective, that the miracle was enabled by the Hidur mitzvah of the anonymous Kohen Gadol, then in effect, when you look at the Neiros, it is a celebration of the greatness of the Jewish spirit, the greatness of the Jew, who seeks to serve Hashem with beauty and Mesiras Nefesh. And in that sense, the Neiros are not only the Or HaShekhinah, the Neiros is the radiant light that is within us, that also, of course, comes from Hashem. And that, again, is in Mishlei. On one hand, we say Ner Mitzvah, the mitzvos are Neiros, and the Torah is Or. That's what Hashem gives us, mitzvos and Torah. But we also say Ner Hashem, Nishma Sada, the neshama of a person, is a radiant light. And according to the second answer, if what you're celebrating is the Mesiras Nefesh of the Kohen Gadol, who used grade A oil when he could have used grade B oil, then when I look at the Neiros, I'm thinking of the beauty of the holiness of the neshama within a person. And indeed, the Chiddush Yarim says that even the word nefesh, which is one of the words that we use for a soul, is actually an abbreviation. Nun is ner, candle. Now candle, ner, both in Tanakh and in Chazal, does not mean a wax candle. It means a receptacle, a cup. A ner is a receptacle. So the nun of nefesh is ner. The pei of nefesh is pesila, wick. And the shin of nefesh is shemen, oil. What is a human being? I am a receptacle, and my job in life is to prepare the wick and prepare the oil so I can receive the flame of Hashem. Okay? So, on one hand, Hashem gives me the abilities that I have, but I have to make the candle. I have to make the ner, the receptacle, the psila, the wick, the shemen. That is a nefesh. So, therefore, in a sense, as is often the case, the Neiros of Chanukah is both a celebration of the Chasdei Hashem and a recognition of the greatness of Am Yisrael in serving Hashem. And I mentioned Rav Tzadok many, many times. Rav Tzadok writes, "Kishem shechay avodam lahamin b'kodesh baruch hu," just as Hashem, a person is mechuyev to have emuna in themselves. I'm sorry, Hashem. Kachu mechuyev lahamin biatzmo. A person must have faith in themselves as well. Meaning to say, emuna in Hashem as the source of everything. But then emuna that He gave me the ability to do what I need to do in the world. A person has to believe that if Hashem gave every one of us a mission, He gave us the kochos and the ability and the talent to be able to accomplish what that mission is. Otherwise, it would be perverse and unjust to be given a task and not be able to do it. Right? You tell a six-year-old child, you got to drive the plane, from here to California. It's not shaykh to make such a request. Hashem is not going to make demands of us that we're not able to meet. Therefore, a person has to believe in themselves, believe in their greatness, believe in their potential. And then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. person believes, or we communicate to our children that they're capable, that they're able. That's what they become. The other way around, when the message that a person gets is that they're worthless, there's not a lot they can do, that tends to be what they become in life, even though that's a tragedy. That's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu intended. Right? So these are the ideas of why, again, b'kitzur, without repeating all the implications, the three answers to why there is such a concept of Mahadrin and Mahadrin min haMahadrin for Ner Chanukah is, number one, this is taking the koach of Yavan, which is beauty, and using it in the tense of shame, in the tense of Kedusha. Number two, the whole miracle was unnecessary because of Tuma Hutra Bitzibor. So Hashem made a miracle so we will be able to serve Him in a beautiful way. Therefore, we reciprocate by serving Him in a beautiful way. And answer number three, since the oil was not menorah oil anyway, it was mincha oil, and mincha oil is kosher with grade B, and yet we were able to use it for the menorah, it must be that the Kohen Gadol did his mitzvah beyond what he needed to do. So the whole mitzvah, the whole miracle rather, arose because of a Kohen Gadol's beautification. So because Hidor was the reason for the having that oil, we thank Hashem with Hidor. Right? So those are the three answers to that question. But now I want to go on to the next point in the Gemara, that the final level of Hidor is the machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says you go down, and Beis Hillel says you go up. What would the explanation of this machlokes be? Like, what is the logic behind the two positions? So the Gemara itself gives two explanations, but each of those explanations need explanations. The first explanation of the Gemara is that Beis Hillel looks at the days as they've already passed, including the day that you're in. So the first day is only one day. By the eighth day, 8 days have passed, or at least I'm in the eighth day. Beis Hillel looks at the days as they have passed by. Beis Shammai looks at the days as they are coming up. So the first day, yeah, Beis Shammai, the first day there are 8 days coming up. The second day there are 7 days coming up, right? So now that's a statement, but that doesn't seem to be an explanation. That just seems to be restating what they say. So what exactly is the explanation of that idea? So there's a beautiful thought from Rav Shlomo Yosef Zevin. Zechor Mevarech, who's a great, great guy, beautiful writer. One of the few Talmidei Chachamim who was connected to everybody. He was connected to Rav Kook, to Lubavitch, to the Brisker Rav, to the Chazon Ish. He was connected across the board. He was both Mizrahi and Chabad, whatever, and he was the founder of the Encyclopedia Talmudis. He was actually a tremendous Talmud Chacham. For many years, he wrote book reviews of Svarim. So he would read a complicated Sefer the way we would read a novel or something. And he would write a review. He would say, oh, the Sefer missed the Yerushalmi, missed the whatever. Okay. So Rav Zevin says the following. You know, we commonly associate Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, that Beis Shammai tends to be strict and Beis Hillel tends to be lenient. But we then come across a machlokes about Chanukah. Do you go 8, 7, 6 or 1, 2, 3? And that has nothing to do at all with being strict or being lenient. But Rav Zevin says actually the two ideas are connected. Why is that so? The reason that is so is that when Hashem created the world, He originally wanted to create the world with midat sadin, strict justice. Because that is true perfection. Everybody gets what they deserve. That's why it says, Bereshis bara Elokim. Elokim is midat sadin. Hashem created the world, Elokim, to be midat sadin. But what happened? Ra'a she'ein ha'olam miskayem. He saw that the imperfections of human beings and the world as a whole is the world, the universe, could not survive with Midas HaDin alone. Even the greatest tzaddikim could not survive pure Midas HaDin. So Hashem modified Midas HaDin. There is still Midas HaDin, but he combined it with Rachamim. And that is why later the Chumash describes the world as Biyom Asos Hashem Elokim. Hashem is Yud Kei Vav Kei. Which means, in a sense, the reason why Beis Shammai is Machmir is Beis Shammai views the Olam from the perspective of the potential that Hashem originally wanted the world to be. And since Hashem wanted the world to be B'midas HaDin, Beis Shammai applies the halacha based on a Midas HaDin, which is a stricter standard. As opposed to Beis Hillel, who looks at the imperfections of the human personality, and therefore his understanding of halacha is rachamim and din, that results in kula. Now again, you have to understand, this is a very deep process. This does not mean, this is not a conscious manipulation. Please be sure you understand that. This doesn't mean Beis Hillel gets up every morning and says, I'm going to be Makel no matter what. And it doesn't mean Beis Shammai got up every morning and said, I'm going to be Machmir. Certainly, Gedolim, even a Gadol today, and Kal V'chomer, the Tanoim, when they try to apply the Torah, they're looking for Emes. They're looking for Emes, whatever that is. But it happens to be that because their neshama is rooted in a different spiritual reality, in the totality of God's oneness, that they will perceive Emes in different ways based on the shorish of their neshama. That is not the same as conscious manipulation. Today, unfortunately, even in the Orthodox world, there often is what you might call conscious, agenda-driven interpretation of halacha. That's not what this is about. But, in Rav Zevin's language, therefore, Beis Shammai looks at koach. Koach means the potentiality of what the Bria should have been. And that's why he's Machmer. Beis Hillel looks at Poal, how that potentiality became actualized. And that's why he's Makel. Yeah.
I see it also, and maybe it's a different way of saying it, that when you're writing it according to Beit Hillel, every day there is an improvement of becoming your potential.
Yes. Okay, so we'll get to that.
Yeah, two, you try to improve, and three, until
right.
you get to the eight.
Right. Yeah, I'll address that. This will come out as well. But I'm going with the Gemara itself. Now, Rav Zevin says, the same idea that Beis Shammai is Machmer because he looks at Koach is potential, and Beis Hillel is Mako because he looks at the imperfect realization, actually explains the Hanukkah miracle. Beis Shammai looks at the potentiality that God put into the oil. Day one, even though we didn't know it yet, Hashem put 8 days of burning power in the oil. Day two, there's only 7 days of burning power. So if you're looking at potentiality, the potentiality goes down. Beis Hillel, who looks at actualizations, in other words, the actualization goes up. By the eighth day, the potential was down, but the actualization was greater. Right? So Rav Zevin ingeniously suggests that Koach and Poel are both the key to Kula and Chumra, and Mosif or Poches, going up or going down. Right? It's all the same idea. Yeah.
But that's only in retrospect.
That's correct. You wouldn't know it at the time. But that's why it says, actually, that Hanukkah was not made a holiday till a year later. It was not made a holiday the first year.
They do it otherwise.
Right. Next year, they then realized what it was. Now, let me mention the second explanation of the Gemara, which touches upon your point. The Gemara then gives a second explanation. Beis Shammai says, we go down because it is a parallel with the sacrifices of Sukkot, which go down. On Sukkot, There were 70 bulls that were brought in the Musaf offering, and they were brought in a descending order. First day, 13, second day, 12, 11, etc., adding up to 70. So Beis Shammai out of left field seems to say, the same way the Sukkot Korbanos go down, the Chanukah menorah goes down. What's the connection? That's a big problem. Beis Hillel, however, says something that's a little easier to understand. Malim Bakodesh, when it comes to holiness, we always go up. So now, let's focus on this second explanation. Beis Shammai compares it to the Sukkot offerings, and Beis Hillel applies the rule, we go up in holiness. We go up in holiness. So here, the Sfas Emes, who is the grandson, the second Ger Rebbe, who is the grandson of the first Ger Rebbe, and the reason why the Rebbe of Ger went from grandfather to grandson is the Chiddushei Arim had 10 sons, all of them died in the lifetime of the Chiddushei Arim, so the Sfas Emes succeeded his grandfather. He was raised by his grandfather and grandmother. The Sfas Emes says the following. Let's think about Sukkot for a moment. The 70 bulls of Sukkot represent the 70 nations of the world that tried to destroy us. And although the United Nations has more than 70 nations, 70 countries, but they're all connected to these 70 nations. And the 70 nations are described as wolves that try to destroy us one way or the other. Some will destroy us by persecution and Holocaust. And others will destroy us by try to destroy us by assimilation. But whatever it is, we are described as a teves, a vulnerable lamb that is living among 70 wolves. Again, I think in Eretz Yisrael we certainly understand that idea. So the idea of the Parim going down is really Hashem telling us that as we approach the Geula, the power of these 70 nations will be diminished and weakened and goes down. Now if you say, but that's not what I see. I see as we approach Mashiach, we have ISIS and terrorism and all sorts of awful things that are happening. But the answer is, from the standpoint of Chazal, this is the final death throes of Rishus, right? Right before a fire goes out, there's a last burst of energy. Right before a human being dies even. Sometimes there's a certain push. So evil rears its head with a last burst. But that's a death rattle. So Parei Achad represents the diminution of evil that is external to us. So here is what Beit Shammai is saying. We don't pass him like Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai is saying, the same way the Parei Achad represents the diminishment, the reduction of the kochos of evil outside of us. The neros of Chanukah represent my neshama, ner Hashem nishmas aben. And as a person wants to become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should burn away his imperfections. He looks at fire, right? Fire is a metaphor for that which burns and destroys. What are you trying to burn and destroy? You're trying to burn and destroy your own imperfections. Your own defects, arrogance, ego, gaiva, laziness, depression. Right? Sur meira, David HaMelech says, turn away from evil and then do good. So Beis Shammai's model of tikkun is the model that we see from the Parei Achad, that the evil gets diminished. So hopefully, according to him, the trajectory of human growth should be, I start off with a lot of negative forces within me. And they hopefully get smaller and smaller and smaller with time. Right? That's using Eish as a mashal for Sorei Fumachaleh, burn and destroy. And indeed, that's what a tzaddik does. A tzaddik can look at whatever chesronos exists and burn them away, work on them. So what is Beis Hillel's point? Beis Hillel's point is, objectively, perhaps that is the highest level to go. But for most of us, there is a danger in focusing on my negatives. Because when I focus on my negatives, I often become helpless and hopeless and despondent and paralyzed. So Beis Hillel switches the mashal of the fire. Instead of looking at fire as that which burns away the negative, which hopefully will become less and less and less with the passage of time, look at fire not as the koach that burns, but as the koach that illuminates and gives warmth. And therefore do your tshuva and your tikkun not by focusing on the negatives, but by identifying the strengths that you have and creating more light and more warmth, which should increase with time. And Beis Hillel says that the way you fight the darkness is not by attacking the darkness, but you fight the darkness by generating light. In some ways you could say, of course this is a Hasidic Shavuot, that the machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, based on the Sfas Emes, is the machlokes between Musar and Chassidus. That Beis Shammai, this is going to, now obviously the Bali Musar won't learn that way because you possibly like Beis Hillel, but the Sfas Emes is suggesting that the Derech HaMusar, where you confront your flaws and work on them, is the Mita of Beis Shammai, which is actually a higher level. The Arizal writes, when Mashiach comes, the halacha is going to be like Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai is a higher level. But for this world, we follow Beis Hillel, in which the best way to be misaken our negatives is by building and strengthening our positives. Because as we strengthen those things which bring us joy in Avodas Hashem, the darkness gets straightened out, even without consciously working on it so much. Now again, this is a Hasidish approach. We've seen things in the Vilna Gaon's commentary that suggest the opposite. The truth is, everything is true, meaning to say, ultimately a person does have to work on their Midos Ros. In fact, the Vilna Gaon writes, the whole purpose of our life in this world is to be misaken our Midos. But the Sfas Emes is also correct, you don't need my Haskama, by making the point that a person has to start with identifying their goodness and creating light. And then when you create light, the darkness gets weaker. There's a very famous statement of Rav Kook, who indeed always lived by this idea. Rav Kook says, it is the way of a Chacham to create light and not to curse darkness. And that is, when we spend too much time focusing on negatives, negatives of others, for sure, and even negatives of ourselves, then we become stymied, we become frozen, we become unable to move forward. So the machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is, again, looking at the menorah as a metaphor for rectification and fixing what needs to be fixed. Do you use the fire as a metaphor of burning and destroying the negative, which hopefully will be diminished with time? And that's like the Sukkot Korbanos? Or do you look at it as that which gives light and gives warmth, which should increase, and the Choshech is Nidcha by itself? And so these are some things to think about for Hanukkah. Again, I wish you all a Freilich Hanukkah. Oh, yeah. One question. Yes, nefesh. Nun means ner, which means receptacle. Pei means pesila, which means wick. And shin means oil. And therefore a nefesh is I make myself a complete candle with a wick and with oil to receive the light of Hashem. So remember, next week again we have the Rosh Chodesh Teves program. Starts at 9 o'clock. My shir is 9:15. And the program will go all the way till 1 o'clock. With, I understand, a light breakfast for an hour. Wow, 10 to 11. Doesn't sound so light, but okay, yeah.
The Rav that passed away, Rav Steinman.
Rav Steinman, yes.
He was on a, he was Beth Hillel.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, Rav Steinman, sometimes Hasidim like to say, sometimes Hashem puts a, gives a chassid even to the Misnagdim, so they should have a chassidish love as well. That's a chassidish joke. But Rav Steinman, on one hand, it was an amazing thing. Maybe we'll talk more about him a little later. But I just want to say that on one hand, he was a person who was totally not part of our world. He was a person who was so separate from the gashmias and materialism of Olam Hazeh in an unbelievable way. The poverty he lived in, the way, the simplicity of his life was literally not normal even among Gedolim. And yet, precisely a person who was so removed from us was a person who had tremendous empathy in Avas Yisrael and understood all of the struggles that we lesser mortals go through. So it was a very, very unusual combination, because normally you might expect someone who is so removed from Olam Hazeh doesn't understand the weaknesses of others. And yet he very much did. And it's a tremendous loss. Baruch Hashem, he was 104. He had a Arichus Yomim way beyond most people. And he wasn't impaired. He was able to learn and think and give aces and even travel until very, very recently. So in a sense, everyone has to die. But for Klal Yisrael, it is a tremendous, tremendous loss. People don't realize what a loss it is. It's a loss for the non-religious, it's a loss for everybody, because he really was an exceptional Oav Yisrael. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you're putting your canvas outside, it's practical, because where we are at the moment, we can't put them at the front, we have to put them at the back, and that's the backyard.
It's a very, very good kasha. Some people,
and we feel very strange, because Hanukkah's not in our house.
I understand. That is why many people do have the minhag today to light inside, even in Yerushalayim.
Inside anyway.
Inside, or preferably by a window that says.
We do have a window.
Yeah.
There's a big hedge.
Yeah.
We have no choice.
I understand.
So it's the best.
Well, you know, what some people do, now this is not comfortable at all. Some people literally sit outside by the candles, but that's not so comfortable.
That's hard. I mean, that's hard.
That is very hard.
You don't feel very Hanukkah-y, do you?
That is very hard. So essentially what you're doing is this, you know, you're compromising in the sense that you're maximizing your publicity of the miracle by lighting in a public place, even though that means you're personally not getting the benefit. So one way of looking at it is, for the zechus of the rabbin, you're giving up some of your ruchnias, just like a person might move to a place that's not so prone because they want to be makarev. So you can look at this as a tier of activity. But you're correct. It's really a dilemma. It bothers me as well.
So, yeah. So it's better to still keep lighting outside then?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Frei Lecha Hanukkah.
You too.
Yeshua Koach, amazing seer as always. Question, the Nerma Ravi.
Yeah.
Everybody's been using that dimui lately.